Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the.
Gernhardt, no, hold on.
got the guy from Parafest. What's his last name?
I don't know.
Well, it's his birthday, the guy from Parafest, Scott. Shoot. Come on, people. I should know this. I suck. Anyways, happy birthday to him. And happy birthday to you. I hope you get something good from the old folks. Yeah.
Well, last night we celebrated Into the Darkness' 1 year anniversary. It was a great show. A lot of people called in.
Scott Gerhardt.
Pretty chaotic.
That's his name. Scott Gerhardt.
Okay.
Okay. No one?
Yeah, for the ones that are actually listening live, I'm sure a lot of you are watching the, if you're baseball fans, of course, you're probably watching the All-Star game. I am as well, but I am broadcasting, so I'm doing two things at once.
Multitasking.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. The second half of the show, we'll talk about some different things that's happened in the world. I got my own opinions on different things that's happened in the news that we'll talk about.
Okay.
Because not only do we talk about the paranormal, but we talk about everything that all of us here on Earth that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis, you know, just because people are doing paranormal and that stuff, all these other things that happen around them do also affect their lives and affect them as a paranormal investigator. So we like to talk about everything on the show and be well-rounded. Here in a few minutes, our guest tonight will be calling in, which is Mary Marshall. And I'm going to talk about her just for a few minutes prior to her calling in. And I'll just read a little bit here and there from some of her bio. Mary teaches an interdisciplinary paranormal studies course at Harper College. She co-hosts a radio show titled The Mothership Connection, currently airing live every Sunday on AM 1050 from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. She's also a paranormal investigator and researcher who speaks at public events on the topic of ghosts and hauntings. She's also the founder of the Paranormal MD, and she believes in discarnate souls, in a haunting, in a poltergeist, in a colliding dimensions, and in shadow people. Also in anomalies, the paranormal in science, and the explainable. Through years of research and investigating, she has educated her and her team on the field of paranormal phenomenon. Paranormal MD believes in discarnate souls and all that I talked about earlier. I'm just kind of going through here a little bit. I'm sure we'll have some more when she gets on. They're located in Northwest Illinois. She has over 12 years of experience in the paranormal investigation field and has been researching the paranormal for over 25 years. As an educator, Mary helped develop one of the first paranormal studies program in the country. And that's pretty damn cool right there. I like that. She personally teaches three of the courses now available within the program. So we'll talk about that more when she gets on. And like I said, they do a lot. And Mary does a lot in the field. And we'll discuss some of those things. You know, I've always wondered, I just
read somewhere that in Israel, a man got his penis bitten by a snake, and then he went to the bathroom to relieve himself. It wasn't poisonous, but he has bite marks on his penis now.
Wow. You got to save that stuff for You need to save that stuff for when we
later.
When our guest has to leave. Yeah, we have to talk about things. But
where that came from.
Okay.
More where that came from. So yeah, I'll just start throwing some crazy stuff out. Man, this bath salt. Okay, like seriously, what is wrong with people? More people are getting addicted to this bath salt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more effective than meth. So I bet a lot of people that have, you know, are meth users are probably switching over.
Yeah, that's crazy. I do believe that our guest has called in, so let's get Mary on.
Okay, are you going to be here? Oh, okay.
Mary, are you with us?
Hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. I was trying to get through, and I was like, going through all the phone system here. I'm like, are they going to know it's me? So,
was it like the Matrix?
What?
Was it like the Matrix?
It sort of was.
The blog clock is so stupid sometimes.
It's not the most user, listener, user, whatever, friendly, because I've, you know,
yeah.
But it works, you know?
Yeah.
What works. So where are you, I have a question for you guys right away. Where are you guys located mm-hmm. out of?
I'm in St. Louis.
Okay.
And I'm in Texas.
You're in Texas? Wow, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Wow. two different time zones there.
No, we're in the same time zone.
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, we're in the same time zone, so yeah, it works out okay. You know, we do it by phone, so
you know what?
But Kevin and I have never met in person, but hopefully one day we will.
Well, that's kind of interesting, though, that you went up that way. I lined up with the co-host that I have. He's in another state. I make it sound like it's really, really far, but it's actually like an hour and a half from me. But nonetheless, we're in very different places, which is really cool that you can do that now.
Yeah. The internet is amazing.
You know, instead of being, you know, everybody only having to work, you can just come across all different kinds of people and work with them, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really interested in your teaching because, you know, in the United States, parapsychology is, like, really looked down on in colleges. So that the fact that you're teaching it is an accredited course, correct?
No, it is not. Not yet.
Right. Okay.
That's a plan. I've got a plan. Right at this point, well, part of it is, you know, it's like a step-by-step process. I just was asked by another college recently to come and help to teach there and or to help them develop a program. And so you keep doing this and it gets out there and you get other people on campus, you know, different professors and whatnot, and they look in and they're like, what's going on? And I mean, we've had it already over at Harbor College, which is where I currently teach. We're, you know, they'll come in and they'll look. Don't ask a physicist to do that, though. They want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of a challenge. I mean, initially on how to design things, and then once they got what I was doing, that this wasn't your, oh, I'm going to talk to you from the, you know, let's meet up at the library. Not that, I mean, libraries are great. I'm not, but, you know, meet up at the library and we'll go over and talk about investigation, you know, step-by-step technique. And no, it's not like that. You know, I mean, how a bazillion different groups could do that. So this really got into...
I don't know if you've heard of MUFON. Have you ever heard of MUFON? It's like ufology.
Yeah. Actually, Sam's going to be on the show next week.
Yeah, I'm sorry, what?
I go Sam from Move, Sam Maranto.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be on the show, my show next week. So, yeah, I do, yeah, I'm familiar with.
Yeah, well, here in St. Louis, you know, the local group here, I've been, they once a month they hold a meeting at the library, and then once a month they hold a meeting at this restaurant. It does really well. I've been going for years, and, like, tomorrow night I have a meeting, and they kind of just take over this section in the restaurant that's kind of roomed off, and, you know, they give us one waiter, and he takes care of all of us, but that whole room fills up with people, and it is entertaining.
Sure.
It is so entertaining. The last meeting I went last month, this, I'm not joking, I mean, she had to have been in her 80s or, like, she was hitting 90. She blew in yelling and screaming, and because she needed to sell her book, she wanted everybody to listen to her. And, like, literally this lady blew in. She had on a weird outfit. She had on lipstick, and it was, like, bright pink, and it was up to her nose, and it was just all over her face. But, man, she was the cutest thing in the world. You know, there's nothing wrong with that if you, you know, if you can't find a college to take it serious and actually offer it to the public, you know. You got to do what you got to do. You got to find places to go. And,
well,
you
that's
know.
It. Yeah. And I totally agree. And that's not what I meant by that. I just meaning that, you know, a lot of it is that getting what is being taught, you know, or what is being information is being relayed, you know, and that's the kind of thing that I had to really work with them on. And because I think what happened is they had tried this before. People had tried it before and they were coming from a different place where I walked in and I'm like, well, I'm really, you know, science minded, logical in that sense, and it's just incorporating all the different fields and technology into this, because, you know, so often people have and they're like, oh, I know that it's an electromagnetic field and I use this piece of equipment, so if I get a spike on here, you know, this field, this means something. Well, let's look a little bit closer at that. Do you know how many fields are are floating around you right now, trying to decipher, or radio signals can demodulate, you know, and different, all these just different things. So that's what it sort of happened, and we approached
real
it from.
Real quick, we move forward, do you have a place that people, like, do you have a website that people could go and, like, do you have a class online that people can order?
No.
Okay.
I had thought about doing it on the internet and doing an online class, and it actually was something that had been talked about a couple times, and it just hasn't happened yet. There just were just other different things going on, and
that should be something that you should do. You know, there's a lot of people in the paranormal field that do that, but not many women. You know, I see that more coming from guys. Like, they have it on their sites, like Joshua P. Warrant. You can go to his site, and you know, he has stuff there, and you know, one thing I'd love to see before I die is a parapsychology college actually created, because I really think that, like, there are just so many fruitcakes in this field that, you know, they walk around, you know, like you were just describing, you know, the EMF readers that we use and stuff. They're, like, convinced that, hey, oh, that's Spike, so there's a ghost here. And I'm just not impressed with that, you know what I mean? I'm more impressed with an EVP, a personal experience, or something actually being caught on video that you can compare and try and debunk, you know, something
right.
lighting up this, you know, too many people know how to manipulate those things with their cell phones and stuff like that. I've even heard of people who do events, a lot of events. They have the people working that, you know, take these people around, and they sit there and play with the phone to get the stuff to spike, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
I'd love to eliminate those.
Yeah.
You know, so, throw them out the door and say, you know what, come up with something better because that's not good enough.
Yeah, there. I am really so critical of what, including what other people, but even for myself too, what is presented as
yeah.
evidence.
Yeah.
Because you know, mistakes happen. You know, one of the things I've been trying to do, and actually, there are more. There's more people that are doing it now, and I know some of it did start. With me, meaning it, you know, went down, to, oh, that's a really good idea, and they started doing it, and then the next group, and then, you know, people look at them,
yeah.
and it passes along. And
right.
one of them, the things that I do is how I, not only you have to sync, obviously, all your video and your audio, but there's things like I use a body mic. Every investigator has one besides the stationary that is around. Because that is a journal for the night. People think they're going to remember. They're not. Not
right.
everything, not yeah. specifics. And if you went back, and myself included in that, where I would have sworn something happened this way, and then upon review of that audio, it was like, huh, that wasn't exactly like that, was it? You know, that kind of a thing. So, you know, doing things like that, using it as a journal, basically, for the night, and getting
yeah.
your time stamps, everything correct, so that when you get an EVP and you're in a room with other people, it just takes somebody to be, they could be even less than 8 feet from you, and they turn around and are looking at something on a shelf, and people don't pay attention. They might mumble something. Or they just might even be speaking to you, but very quietly. It's going to come across as an EVP. It could come across as an
EVP. I've had that happen so many times of people who are inexperienced and they whisper and, like, I'll go over it and over it. And then, like, you know, then you get into the video and you start watching the video and then you see their lips moving and you're like, man.
Right.
I thought I had one.
Yeah. So it's,
yeah.
it's like
yeah.
if everybody's mic'd, you don't
yeah.
have that problem. Because if I think I caught something on mine and it sounds like a female, you know, I think it's a female entity, and I have two other females in the room with me, investigators, I check their mics, check their audio. Okay, it's not them, or it is them, you know, and it's done. So those mistakes, it just really cuts down on the error that
mm-hmm.
can be made.
So you've been doing this for 25 years. How what like got you started? Because that's a long time.
Well, actually,
you know?
Actually, I started more just doing a lot of, I will say, researching. The investigating I've been doing for about 13 years.
Okay.
So previous to that, it was just a lot of, you know, reading and researching. And let me tell you, there wasn't a lot out there. And I didn't I'm a very spiritual person, but I just didn't like everything coming from this religious and or mystical place for the reasoning for things occurring. I'm a big believer, and I don't think that everything is just that we come across as dead people from our world. I think it's a multiple dimensional issue thing going on here. And that some, you know, there's more than one reason. And so that just starts drawing you into, and that's, again, what really started drawing me more into some of the science, you know, starting to read more about some of the theoretical physics or trying to learn a little bit deeper into some not just the psychology, but how the brain functions. There's a show, and I've been talking about this show that's on the air right now. It's Brain Games. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Yeah, I have.
All right, this show, rather than it being like, oh my God, that's, I can't believe that I, you know, that you just, I don't want to say fell for something or that this happened or whatever, is that I look at this and I'm like, people should be watching, and every investigator, paranormal investigator should be watching this right now and going, really? Because we're our biggest tools, and for the most part, we're the best thing we have going as far as making judgment calls and trying to discern what we're experiencing. But let me, if you watch that show, and that's a perfect example of some of the things that I teach in the class of how easily we're deceived.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, how our brains are going to work and function in certain situations. Or I'll talk about long before, you know, it was coming out more, I think where it's being talked about more now, but, you know, why people, you always hear about, oh, I saw a shadow out of the corner of my eye. Well, why is that? So I will explain the reasons why that is. Real physiological or biological or, you know, scientific reasons. And then just start putting it all together. So I present a lot of things, and then often we'll turn around and say, and now that basically, you know, you think in a way you've convinced them of this is how it is, I'll turn around and just, you know, pull the carpet out and say, well, yeah, but, because there's different arguments that can be made for things. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's going back to the college thing, that's why it works.
Yeah,
because I relate it to paranormal actual cases and investigating, but it's really, you know, a multidisciplined approach, I guess, would be the best way to put it. So, yeah. And you know, and starting at the continuing education level, like I said, it's a start because if we don't get into the colleges and this doesn't become a legitimate field, we're going to go nowhere real fast because
yeah.
we have a lot of different camps all over the world, and not everybody's communicating.
Oh,
and
no.
If it could be you or I, and if we were to compare just – let's just say in EVPs, you know, well, look at the EVPs I have, look at the EVPs you have. Well, we could be comparing apples and oranges. Maybe I'm having it in a controlled situation where it's in a Faraday cage and that's the only way I record. And I'm not saying you would do it this way, but, you know, you could have a totally different approach,
right.
You know. So you can't compare the evidence or even the procedure of getting there if you don't have controls in place.
Yeah,
and so
right.
A lot of it with, again, you know, putting it into people who are a whole lot, and I hate to, you know, and like I said, I'm in this. We need people who are, you know, a whole lot smarter than a lot of us. Not all of us, but a lot of us.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that this is
there's
this is
no regulations on us. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I could take a group of people and just say, okay, here's my equipment, go. Come back and, you know, we'll go through the evidence. I'll show you how to do it. And like, bam, they're a ghost hunter, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's a hit or miss with all of them. You know what cracks me up about the whole paranormal field and, you know, like professors of parapsychology? One is that they had to go overseas to get their license, and they studied in a college. Okay, now parapsychology, I don't understand why we haven't picked up a haunted location and brought in professors to actually take the field people, which are the ghost hunters, and say, okay, we're going to load you up. We're going to put all this stuff all over your body. Go out there, you know, go into those hot spots and go and try and collect evidence, monitor everything about their body and also the environment. And so you're bringing the field work, haunted locations, and real professionals together. Like you said, we're so scattered, we're all over the place, and we're not together. And we need one place that, you know, is a central home base where people in the field can go and, you know, bring their group, get set up with, professors, and, like, actually find out what's going on with them and while they're collecting evidence, you know.
Right. Yeah, it is a lot of that. I mean, if we can get, you know, which we do have, I think probably one of the strengths that this field has, if it has any type of, having field, would be like audio engineers, video tech, you know, that type of techs. We need to put those people with, you know, the physicist and the, you know, whatever, the neurobiologist and the, you know, so on and so forth. To kind of get
and there's like
to the
major
next place.
Lack of money. There's major lack of money. I mean, I don't know how much you know about like ufology, but like I just read recently that something, I can't remember where it was, but somebody had talked about the UFO files. And that basically our government is the size of themselves, and they don't have the answers. And that's why they're not releasing it, because they're still trying to figure out what is going on.
Right. I would believe that. You
and
know,
like,
that they
you
don't.
Know, they should reach out to MUFON and say, you know what, we're going to load you up with money. This is what we need. This is what we want you to find out. Go find it out. You know what I mean? And we'll set you up with these people. You work with them. You know, it just, there's just not enough coming together. It's, I'm over here in my group, and I'm doing my thing, and you can't come in, and I'm not going to share what I'm doing because it's mine.
Yeah, that's huge. Yeah, that happens a lot. I think it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still very much like that. And,
how have you,
you know, and
13 years.
You know what? I started out with other groups, which might be the answer why I have my own now. that might be your answer. I saw what they were doing, and it was, to me, it was, it just stopped at ghost hunting. I like that part of it. I enjoy that part of it myself, too. But it just stops there to where you're just really... it was horrible, some of the stuff at that time, you know, that I experienced with some of the other groups. Just no, you know, there wasn't organization, and it was pretty much like, grab your equipment and go. Okay.
I've had some real dipshits in my group, and like, you know, I'm like, all right, guys, have you read the book that I told you to go out and buy? No. And it's like, well... You know, do you even have a recorder? Did you buy one yet? No, I'm just going to use my iPhone. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, it takes great recording. I'm like, no. No, you idiot. Go and spend $30 and get yourself a goddamn recorder. But now I have everything. Like, I've got 6 recorders, and I've loaded myself up with, if somebody shows up, I've got what you need, you know?
Right.
And I'll go over it because you don't, you know, it's a passion and a drive, and if you have it, then you have it. If you don't, you're only going to be a ghost hunter, you know. That's all you're going to amount to. You're not going to make a difference.
Hey, you know what? I think that's the big thing is wanting, for me, is wanting to make difference in the sense of, if I can get people now that they start looking at it where it's like they would never even think that any of the things that I probably, you know, I shouldn't say any, but a lot of the stuff that I teach could even be applicable to that field, that either they're going to back away from it or they're going to, if they go forward, the goal is, you know what, let's make the next you know, I don't want to say generation, but in a sense, generation after me be better and so on and so forth. So it just kind of keeps raising the bar. And like I said, going back to, you know, when you said, you know, money. There's not enough money, and that's another reason of wanting to get it at a level. If colleges are now teaching, maybe not investigating per se, but the paranormal field, the parascience of it, if you will, on accredited level, then it starts getting the attention and you can start getting money and you might get government grants and all of these other things that can propel it forward.
Yeah.
You know, and just keep doing it that way. But, you know.
Have you found that it's harder for you being a woman than for, like, men?
You know, yes and no. For the most part, no. And I only say that because I think because of being a woman and just where I started at in the change of how, you know, the work field and all this through the, you know, the years, you learn how to deal with certain people, to deal with maybe, you know, perceptions and so on and so forth. With that being said, I think sometimes it's still, there is a little bit of a issue.
You know, I did a interview for 2020 News, and it hasn't aired yet, but they found me, and they heard that I was the most controversial and hated woman in the paranormal field, so they wanted to do an episode on me.
Wow, that's a nice way. I'm going to be featured as the most controversial and hated.
And you know what? I spoke about how little funding there is for our field. And, you know, about how hard it is to be a woman in this field. I mean, you know, there are days I dropped my other Facebook account. Like, I have two accounts. One that's, like, personal. I have, like, 31 friends. And then I had another one that was almost 5,000. And it was like, you know, there were days that I had four or five guys in the paranormal field hitting on me. And, you know, it's like I don't wake up to, you know, I'm not you know, and then I've been called a whore a million times, and I've never touched anybody in the paranormal field, and it's like, where are you getting this shit, you know, and why are you doing this to me? Just leave me the hell alone. If I want your Johnson, you'll freaking know it. You know what I mean? I'll be like knocking on the door going, hello. But, you know, other than that, like, you know, it, I don't know.
You know what?
It's been a crazy ride for me in the paranormal field. And I don't like a lot of things about it, and a lot of things have pissed me off. And I've made a lot of enemies because I stand up for myself and say, hey, F you, you know, F you. And if you want to mess with me, I'll mess with you back, you know, because I'm not going to sit back and take it. But I don't, like, it just seems like other guys that I've talked to in the paranormal field that have been in it for, like, you know, 30 years, they said they have seen so many women come in, get slaughtered to the point where they never show their face again because these men are freaking pushing them out. And it's, like, dominated by men.
Yeah, you know, so far, you know, cross my fingers, that has not, that part of it has not been part of my experience. But I will, in general, what happens is there is that overall threat. You know what I'm saying? I can sense that it's there. The problem, and this is going to sound horribly, oh my gosh, this, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but, you know, the thing is, this is one of those where, even in the work, you know, in day job work world, that when I was would do that, it'd come in and they'd be like, oh, you know, okay, the blonde, you know, the blue-eyed blonde female, okay, we know, you know. And it's sort of like, okay, and they do their cute little flirty thing and everything, and okay, let's sit down and let's talk, you know, negotiations here, when maybe it's contracts or whatever. And then I would just, you know, that's it. Done. You know, take a hammer and nail you in. Because that would be that good. And as it would go on, they would just sort of be like, oh, you know, like you're not just this way or you're not just that way. And I think what happens a lot of times in this field is that what happens is that some of the ones that are probably the most threatened or insecure are maybe not the brightest, you know, they're just not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
I think you got that one.
You know, so they're threatened in that way, and it's an insecurity on their own part. And I think if you really look at it from that perspective, it's one of those of they know it. You know, they know it, and they know that there's only so much they can do because, you know, I'll just kind of like you said, I'll come at you, and it's like I can run circles around you, you know.
In my opinion, Facebook doesn't help. I mean, it's just an outlet for trolls that, you know, they're like, oh, I'm a paranormal investigator. And then you go, okay, how many places have you done this year? Oh, I don't really have the money. Well, what kind of equipment do you have? Oh, I don't really have any. It's like, well, then dipshit, don't say you're an investigator because you kind of got to spend money to be able to back it up, you know? And you also know how to, like, you know, need to know how to put that stuff on your computer and edit it and, you know, fluff it up and, you know. There's a lot more to being a paranormal investigator than just saying, hey, I've read a book and I'm a paranormal investigator. There's so many of them on the internet that, like, you know, they claim to be a paranormal investigator, yet they are doing absolutely nothing to back up their, you know, claim.
I think pretty fortunate as far as, you know, you're talking about Facebook. I've actually not had any real, you know, now I'm going to say it's going to happen, but real bad experiences on there. I've met a lot of really good people, actually.
I guess because of my group name, my logo, you know, it's like freaking triple threat. That's what it, you know, I came out and people are like, oh, skank bags, you know what I mean? And it's like, hey, why can't I, you know, have a creative mind? You know, I came up with just a name and a logo and, you know, just have fun with it. Why, you know, why can't we as women do that, you know?
Yeah. I think, and like I said, a lot of it, even with most of the guys that I've come across have actually been really good. There is just, like I said, that small factor that maybe, and I think they probably are like that in every aspect of their life then, you know. There's just an insecurity, and that shows through. It's been there.
So many times that, you know, I'm going to destroy you, and it's like, please do it. Put me out of my misery tonight. You know, don't call me up and don't threaten me. I've had people that are on TV call me up and threaten me and tell me they're going to destroy me. And come to find out that the reason they were trying to destroy me is because this girl was trying to get this guy Johnson that I was going to do a location with. And so she was threatened by me, and this is a chick on TV. And it's like, are you kidding me, bitch? I'll kick your ass. Like, why are you this? Because I'm on a plane, you know? It just blows my mind, the insecurity of people. And I've had it bad, so, you know. That 2020 interview that was perfect for me.
I've had occasional with some past, you know, people that I may have worked with that did kind of, I don't want to say threatening, but nonetheless threatening. But see, my thing is in this field, and I do mean this. Don't get me wrong, I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very passionate about the teaching and wanting to further the field and, you know, what little tiny, you know, peanut way I can help it, great. But if it all went away tomorrow, okay. And that's how I am about a lot of things in my life like that. It's not, those are not, this, it's not the most important thing.
Yeah.
In my life, nor will it ever be, or nor should it be, actually.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know.
So if things went away, if something happened and somebody crushed me and took me off the map, okay. Yeah, but I've kind of had one of those lives where I, like, really change, like, gears completely and go, like, totally left and make a new career. And so I do this, several different times through my life. And so maybe that's why. It's not the only thing I've got, you know. It's like, okay, well, then it's time for me to go do this then.
Yeah.
And something else will come about. And things are just kind of weird, the whole progression. Sometimes you don't know what's the right thing to do or not do. Because, again, you do want to be taken seriously. So it was like, okay, well, if I talk about the fact that I did used to be do professional acting, is that somehow going to make people think less? You know, like, oh, I'm just doing this because I want to put my name out there.
Right.
Or, you know, in all these kind of sometimes silly things that you think about, how is this, you know, affecting the end product, which is, for me, trying to just further the field. Even in doing, I'm sure like you, like doing the radio show, a lot of it is to let people hear the opinions of other people, and to just, you know, kind of get it out there. There's not some secret, you know, goal of fame, or because that's certainly not going to happen in radio, nor are riches, for that matter, unless you're, you know, Howard Stern or something. And look at how many years he's been at it. So,
you know, I was on Howard Stern. I was on Howard Stern.
Oh, were you on it? Oh, so how long ago were you on there?
I was on there about 2 years ago, and I'm welcome to go back whenever I want, and I will go back one day, probably next year.
How was the experience?
Well, you know, okay, first of all, I went in there, and, you know, I knew I was going to Howard Stern, so I could go batshit crazy, and I pretty much did. I went batshit crazy, and I had a blast. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to Howard Stern, this shit's gonna rock. And I went there, like, kind of prepared, like, in asking him questions that I knew would blow his fucking mind, you know, because I was like, man, I'm going to Howard Stern. I got to fluff this up. I got to come back with some comebacks or things to throw at him that would surprise him. So I did, and, you know, some really crazy stuff happened from it that, I mean, we were there at one point. We were laughing so hard during the show. Oh, my God, I was freaking out. But, yeah, it was pretty wild, but, you know, it is a success. It wasn't a walk in a park for him, you know.
Yeah, it's a long haul.
Everybody tried to stop him and destroy him from, you know, and you know, in some ways, I kind of feel like him in the paranormal field because, you know, not only am I passionate about it, but when I go with my group and we're going to film, I'm also thinking of the entertainment value of what we're putting out. So, you know, and that's because, you know, I just think that there's so many shows that are so freaking boring. I mean, I watch the shows on TV and I'm just like passing out. I'm like, screw this. It just bores me to death. And so I like to fluff it up and have fun and be entertaining while I'm collecting evidence. And, you know, if that means that I'm getting a little wild, then I kind of go ahead and get a little wild. And, you know, I'll take the backlash of people going, you're nuts and you don't belong and, you know, you're making a fool of us. And it's like, but look at the evidence I'm capturing. You know what I mean? Look at the evidence and tell me that I'm an idiot now because of what I did, you know? And
yeah.
I look at it like this. If you step out of the box and you go, okay, I'm going to be different. I'm going to go ahead and take that criticism, but I'm going to try this, and if it works, I'm going to stick with it, you know?
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, and with Mary, with you teaching people, you know, because there's so many groups popping up all over the place all the time, and it's just because a lot of times they're watching these shows and they're like, oh, I want to do that. That looks fun. But they don't have the knowledge. And then once they get the knowledge, you know, it gets kind of stale. They do the same old thing. You know, they just walk in with the gear and do their thing. And in order to further the field, and I've said this many a times to numerous people, you got to think outside the box. You got to start testing theories. You know, I know one theory I'm going to start testing is the whole cold spot theory, because how many times I've heard other teams use it, I've used it myself, you know, and we don't have any actual backing on it, you know. Oh, the temperature's dropping in this area, so a spirit is drawing the energy out of the room and manifesting, right, either through EVP or whatever. Well, how much has that been tested, right? We catch ourselves so many times saying things to clients or whoever, and we don't have a lot of validity behind what we say. It's stuff that's passed down through group or from television, and we hear it, and we're like, okay, well, if they said it, it must be true. Well, where did they get it, right? And I think that that's, you know, and one thing that really gets me is when a team says they're scientific. Walking around with a K2 meter or a mail meter or any piece of equipment does not make you scientific. That's not scientific.
Right.
Scientific,
yeah.
Goes back to school when we were all in science class and we had to do the scientific method with controls and variables. And
yep.
If you want to incorporate science into the paranormal field, then, I mean, I've done it. I had to reteach myself a little bit about the scientific method, but I actually broke down and made some experiments with controls, variables, and the whole nine yards, had it documented, and then the team did it, you know, and we did an experiment, you know, and then recorded the results. And
right.
A lot of times, you know, think about all the things in the world that have been invented by an experiment gone bad. You know, so you got to repeat and test, and then you share those results with other people in the field, and that's how you start making these baby steps. But you know, and for you to go in and teach people and give them some tools and some general knowledge. I mean, that's a stepping stone in further in this field, because a lot of people don't have that. They go in and they have no clue what they're doing.
And you know what?
Yeah.
People also frown upon people who get certified, you know? When I started out, the reason I started out was because I have a child that he's 17 now, but when he was 3, he started seeing ghosts in my house. And so by the time he was 11, it was so bad. He was hitting puberty. I mean, I had poltergeist activity going on, things flying around my house, music playing when the house was completely quiet, or, you know, he would be coming to me completely terrified. And I knew my house was haunted, but I didn't have the tools. So I took a course through Fleming College and got, like, certified because, you know, if I was going to do it, I wanted to do it and have a test. So it would make me commit to, you know, learning it and knowing it and having to pass the test to you know, go, okay, I've got it, you know what I mean? And now I need to move forward and learn more. But, you know, a lot of people, like, I don't normally go and tell people that I took that course, but I did because I needed help, you know. I needed help for my son to educate him. And, you know, so it took me on my path.
I think that that's, you kind of hit on it as far as the people needing help. I don't like, it's not, you know, I might have my own personal opinions on it, but to as far as how other people are doing things, I may not like it, but you know what, that's fine. They can do whatever they want to do. They want to, you know, they have a group, they want to go out and they want to do what I call, you know, the public investigations, you know, the Waverly or, you know, wherever,
right.
You know, about that type of thing. And it's when they go, and the only thing that they have based this on really is off what they're seeing on television for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe then somebody that they know. And they're going into somebody's home. And you have,
yeah.
I mean, you know, we've all had cases like this, but you have, you know, you go in and there's a family. And you find, by the time we had got in, it was 3 months. None of them had been sleeping in their bedrooms. They had all been sleeping for 3 months in the family room together. This is serious. This is emotionally traumatic.
Yeah.
And you need, and that's the other thing as far as is, you know, one of the things in teaching is you want to go do this. That's great. Go out and go anywhere you want and do it and however you want to do it. But when you're going to go into somebody's home, you have to remember that one, this is somebody's home, and then a multitude of other things, you know, that go on after that when you're dealing with people and families and clients. Now, it's so that's the thing that kind of bothers, the only thing that bothers me about it is rather than saying you're doing it wrong, that's fine, do whatever you want to do. However, if you're going to be doing it in this case, and sort of like what you had said too about and or don't present yourself as a scientific group.
Yeah.
I even caught myself early on when I was doing my original website, you know, and said, and I caught myself using that because that's the term everybody was using. And I was kind of late even putting the website up, but it's like, all right, I got to get with the time. Because I had kept a very, very low profile. I did, because of so much drama with groups and people, I thought, you know, I'm just keeping my head down and my nose clean and, you know. But anyway, I put this website, started to put this website up, and I thought, and I pulled it off. And what I put in there now is that we keep in mind the scientific method. Obviously, it's not a lab, so you can't be totally, you know, anything controlled.
No.
But this is what we do. And I pulled that and then, you know, took that out of that. You know, oh, we use a scientific. It's not scientific equipment. It's an electrician tool.
You know,
or something, and how these things started. So in that way, and you know, people need to realize, the ones that are watching the television show, is it is entertainment.
Yeah.
It might be a reality show, but nonetheless, there are producers, there are advertisers they have to answer to. And if they're not, you know, getting somebody to tune in to watch it, it's going to go bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be that balance. And so that's, I think, I've struggled with this myself on the entertainment, because there's this paraceb thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for paranormal celebrity type thing going on. And it's that kind of like, all right, how do you walk this line to put yourself out there enough to get the word out and you want and to do this without, you know, it's just this, it can be difficult sometimes. Trying to find that balance, because then as soon as, and inevitably, when somebody makes, you know, real good as far as in elevated type of platform, whether it be from usually via television, immediately come out all the you know, the hounds on them trying to, you know, oh, they sold out. They sold, they're nothing. They sold out, and, you know, trying to tear them apart. And it's like, hoy. And if you probably had the same opportunity to take and put yourself in that position and be able to make this your only living and your only income and to get word out to people, you probably have the people that were tearing them apart would do the same thing. I personally know somebody that, you know, apparently has more groups that belong to his society than countries that actually exist, you know, that all around the world, more, you know. But he would sit there and just trash on all these people. And I find out that this person is doing is working as a consultant now. Guess for what? Apparently a television, you know, something that's going to either air or is being aired. Well, you're kind of doing what you just criticized then, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You're criticizing somebody in, you know, so.
To show do? The Philip experiment and not tell the crew what they're doing and take them into a location that has never been haunted and feed them some bullshit story and put like gun holes in the walls and like, you know, just make up some tragedy and then send them in there and see if they catch anything. And if they do, we're going to have to go back and go, huh, is it us? You know what I mean? Like, why haven't the shows done that?
Right. You know what, though? They actually have to have a preliminary go through there, though, because it could have activity. Meaning,
yeah.
If not things flying around, somebody would notice that, you know, if you had some kind of thing.
If you were to pick somebody's house that they've lived there for 30 years and nothing's ever happened, you know, and, you know, send in a team to see if they collect anything, and if they don't, then send you know, a television show in and, you know, it would be like that story is, you know, because that's the Philip experiment. They told them some awful story and, you know, what happened, and nothing ever happened there. But they ended up creating all kinds of paranormal activity that they couldn't explain. And
right.
So that, to me, is like, that is really interesting, because then you're getting into, is it the people, you know, and you know, that goes back to the scientific part and bringing parapsychology in and, you know,
right.
Doctors to actually monitor that stuff. I really think that is something that should be really being logged right now in our field, like a place that we know, in fact, is not haunted, but put a group of people in there and see if they can get it going. And if they get it going, we, you know, they're going to find maybe more answers. I mean, that study was done like 30 years ago, or maybe
what,
even
longer.
The Philip?
That was,
yeah,
in
was
the 70s. 70s.
Yeah.
They, another group tried to duplicate it. I believe the other group might have been, I don't know if they were out of Canada, wherever they were at. But and they never could duplicate or have come close to what happened in the Philip experiment. However, they also don't know what, speaking of controls, what exactly they were all doing, so it didn't last as long, and it could have been very different. But again, here's my question about this, is that, and I've talked about that too, why hasn't there been any more It kind of makes me somewhere question the legitimacy of this all. Is this one of those things that just keeps passing along and getting passed forward and forward and forward? If you go to look and research this more, you really can't find beyond that actual element of them talking about what happened during that experiment much about it.
There was another group that did this study, and I believe they were out of, I want to say the United Kingdom, and they did this in the late 89, and they did it, they committed to a basement of a house that was not haunted, and they committed to meeting, I believe, once a week for 2 years, and by the end of that 2 years, they had so much paranormal activity going, but it took a really long time for it to start happening, and I want to say it's the afterlife maybe, that's the name of the documentary. But they had, like, things being teleported onto the table. They had flowers falling from the ceiling. You know, they just sat around this table every week for 2 years. And they actually created what was the Philip experiment. But people don't know about this stuff. When I have conversations with other people and I bring up the Philip experiment, they go, "What is that?" And it's like, you're a paranormal investigator. You should know about that, because that is a really important piece of documented evidence in our field. Everyone should know about that, in my opinion. But there are so many that don't. And, you know, that just goes to show what level they're at. But you know what? I am actually signed for a TV show, and I'm getting my own show, and it will probably air in a year. And I was just told by the production company to go ahead and send all my ideas because they're in development, you know. So if you were to give me advice on what you would like to see in, you know, different about the shows, what would it be?
Well, you know what? You just came up with it yourself, if you haven't already given that one. But,
going to put that in my thing, that I do want them to maybe surprise us with, and not even tell me about it, you know what I mean? And then it'll show, you know, if we're stupid or not, and if we're lazy as well about not debunking what we just heard or saw, you know. So I do plan on throwing that in there.
Yeah, it again, though, I would say is that you really need, it needs to be more than just where somebody, because people could be in a house and not really experience anything, but nonetheless, if you were to go in, they might be talking, just nobody's listening, meaning you're going to put a recorder down and you would catch something. So there could be something going on. So I think you need to have that. You know, what is it, have somebody go through it, you know, at least once, you know, if not twice, to make sure, so that if you do end up picking up something and it's been really clear that nothing has been, you know, just be really interesting to see what would happen. But
Talking to me is very, very interesting, you know. I know I have friends that when they were in puberty, they swear that they could, like, bend silverware. And also, you know, I don't know if you've heard of those people when they're driving down the street and they come up to a light and the light dims and shuts off. I've had that happen to me a million times.
And the street light, you pass and the street lights go off and stuff like that. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it, I know somebody who's doing some research on this too right now, and dealing with what can the average person basically manifest, you know, what with their energies and how much focus would it take. It is a fascinating field. You know, it does go into the whole, like what you're talking about with poltergeists, as far as when you're, you know, dealing with human agents. that's a really touchy thing to bring up, especially if you're dealing with, anybody, a family, and saying, you probably are the one doing this. They're surprised to find it out. They feel a whole combination of everything, a little guilt, a little disbelieving, a little horrified. You know, they don't know what to think, you know.
Yeah.
But we're quite capable people of what we can do. And again, that's the thing about the field. There's so many aspects to it. You have the spiritual side, you have the psychological side, you have the science side, technology, you know, and you just the history. I mean, part of it, quite honestly, I like going to places. I love the history on some of these places, or the architecture of it, maybe.
There's so much to it. There's so much joy to get from it. I grew up, my father and my brother and my grandfather for generations have bought up land here in St. Louis, and I watched my family buy acres and acres and acres and build 300 houses in a subdivision and, you know, sell them all. And so I have a great love for, you know, watching, like being able to watch that as a child, watch, you know, go to the homes, the places, and watching, oh, they got the concrete, the basement in, and oh, now they got the walls up, you know, and I would go and like see the progression of it. But then my mother on top of that was an interior designer. So I go into places, I walk around, and even though they look like the biggest butthole, I'm looking around and I'm thinking about what it looked like when it was built. What could be done to make it beautiful again? And and then you want to start saving those places, you know? You're like, oh my God, I want to raise money to help put a new roof on it, keep that going, or you know what I mean? There's so much to what we do.
There really is, and it does make it hard, I think. That if we could, to me, I think the next kind of step is if we can get, what is a qualified person? I don't know, you know, but to divide that up. And those are the research groups that really do make a difference, where it's like, okay, you are the audio engineer. That's it. You're going to tell us what we need to be doing here. And then the next person is, you're the equipment builder. This is a this. And if you're able to have something like that, you can really focus more on just your thing and then bring it all together.
Yeah. Where are you based out of curiosity?
I'm in the Chicagoland area. I'm in the northwest suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, nice. I'm going to be in Chicago next month. I am going to I'm in an event. It's a flea market.
Over at Rosemont. Or what do they call it now? Sears or something like that?
It's like Wilton. I don't even remember what it is.
It's like a huge giant, and there's a theater there, too, the building, right?
A theater? Not a theater, no. It's,
I don't know if theater is the word. Stadium, that's what I shouldn't want to say. We have one here. It used to be called Rosemont. Then somebody else bought it, and they put their corporate name on it. And then I think it was Sears or something that put their corporate name. And then something, I don't even know what it's called now. Everybody around here still refers to it as Rosemont, the Rose. So, but they have this ginormous flea market thing that they do there. So, but you've got my thing. Let me know. Come on down. I'll come over and say hey.
Right now, Wheaton, Illinois.
Oh, in Wheaton.
Yeah, is that close to you?
Yeah, it's not too far. No, not at all. It's south of me, but it is actually one of it's probably about 45 minutes, you know, for me, which, you know, around here is typical.
Yeah. It's August the 7th. It's an all-nighter, and they have bands playing all night. And I just go during the day and, you know, while the booths are open.
Yeah.
But it was packed. There was probably 12,000 people that came in and out of that event. And, oh, my God, you know, I just walked around and wanted to spend money everywhere I went because it was like, oh, antique, oh, my God, oh, you know, it's like, get me out of here. I'm the worst. I have kids, and, like, I bought the cutest little timeout bench for my daughter because she's a singer. And so, you know, I say the timeout bench, and she's like, oh, no, and it's like, oh, yeah, sister. Better than a spanking, you know? But I got one of those there, and it's a good time, though. So, August the 17th, I will be there. And if you're interested in, like, doing a booth or something like that, let me know. I can call the owner and let him know.
I will keep it. I'm trying to think because I know, I don't know if it's that weekend or the next. There's a another conference up in actually Wisconsin that I'm going to be going to. I'm not speaking at that one, but I'll have to look at it. I will. I for sure. No, that'd be kind of interesting. And you know what? I stay away from antiques now. Although I love them, I absolutely love them. Don't get me wrong. I've had way too many. I've had two. I mean, this is over, you know, a bazillion years time.
Right.
you know, but two incidences with something that from an antique place. And I was like, you know, I just don't really need this. I get enough of this and all this. I don't want to be bringing more garbage in my house and...
Yeah. My mother does estate sales, and she got so many antiques in my house. Thank God, thanks to her. But, yes, she did give me one piece that she just had sitting around, and then she went to another one, and it was like a makeup table, you know, and it had the old-fashioned mirror on it. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I took it and I put it in my garage and I sanded it and, like, redid it and I put it in my house. And that is when my son started seeing a little girl in my house. And he was walking past the mirror and saw the little girl in the mirror. And so I ended up giving it back to my mom and I gave it to my sister and was like, this thing's haunted. Have fun with it, right? And
yeah.
We didn't hear anything from it for about 6 months. And then one day she called me up and she's like, oh, my God, Jody, you were right. And I was like, ha,
told ya.
Right? And so, you know, but I still take it from her because she picks out beautiful stuff and she just can't stop herself. So then she'll be like, well, I don't want this piece anymore because I got this one. Do you want this? And I'm like, yeah. And I know it's sitting in her house, so it's fine, but... Oh,
yeah,
man.
Most of the time it's fine, you know, most of the time, but occasionally. And, you know, the thing was is that I landed up getting, I know the one, I don't remember because the one was really, really long time ago. I don't even know where it originally came from. But one was a frame. The frame was old. The print in there, the painting in there was old. And I got it from a town that is basically built on limestone and made, and is just really known for its activity, which probably wasn't, you know, the smartest thing to do. Well, I thought, I was drawn to this thing. Well, now I know why. I got to the point, I was dating someone at the time, and I said, and it was really sweet because, you know, I wanted this thing. He's like, well, yeah, let's just get it. And then I landed up, get this thing out of my house. I don't want it here. You can have it. I don't know. I broke up, so I don't know what happened to him, but to it, him or it. But, yeah, there was a lot of you know, just starting to get some issues with it. And I'm like, no. And that was kind of, and I mean, obviously I still buy, get stuff, but I'm more careful, I suppose, about what I'm bringing in. Like, I would never think of bringing in, I don't know, certain antique, I don't want to say even weapons, but things that you know were used or things that, that you could have been in a tragedy, you know, something that's going to have negative stuff.
Pictures kind of creep me out, like old pictures, because I've heard of more people, like, getting artwork and bringing the artwork home and then, like, actually calling me and saying, hey, Jody, do you want to buy this from me? And I'm like, no, I don't want to buy it, but if you would like a place to donate it, I know a place that you could donate it to. You know what I mean? Go put it in a haunted place.
Yeah.
You know. Do you ever get to Alton?
I have been. I haven't been for a long, long time. I mean, for years. But, yeah, that's another place. It's one
of
the...
Well, if you ever want to go there, let me know, because that's kind of, you know, me being here in St. Louis, it's like 35 minutes from my house. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so Alton's kind of my stomping ground. I have stomped that place pretty good. And, you know, that's where I learned. I went when I was having huge problems with my son. I actually reached out to Janet over at Mineral Springs Haunted Tours. I don't know if you've heard of that place.
Minerals. Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, that's where I picked up that painting at.
Really?
An antique one, yeah, that had issues with. It was in Mineral Springs, yeah.
The painting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that place is, you know, Janet kind of took me and my son under her wings, and she helped me so much with him. I love her so much. Like, she's just been like another grandmother to me and my son, you know. We actually filmed for my ghost story at Mineral Springs, and I did my interview for 2020 at Mineral Springs. So we're, Yeah, so I've been really trying to help her. And, like, I have events over there to help raise money for her. And, you know, I kind of get on the other guys, like, in the group, you know, that I know go over there, too. And I'm like, hey, you know, like, those steps, you guys are builders. You need to get over there and put some new steps in. Come on. You know, like, I kind of get them working for her.
Whatever happened, if you probably do know this, with the Walker House? Isn't that in there?
You know, I haven't heard of that. There's the McPike Mansion, and then there's that Milton School. The greatest place that nobody gets into, but I can get in, is there's a Masonic temple there, and it was built. Do you remember that prison over there? They had a prison in the 1800s, and... it was so bad, like, so many people were dying from diseases and from starvation. They were starving people so bad. It was just tragic. But anyways, it was a limestone building, so they ripped it down, and they actually used the limestone to build up all of out in the garden. Why can't I think of it?
Build up the rock walls in the gardens?
You mean? Yeah, you know, like they built up the what is it? Oh, shit. There's a name for it. so they kind of built, you know, so it's just that prison is scattered out throughout the main part of Alton. And so when you drive around, you see the limestone from the prison everywhere. And literally, I've been on the street taking pictures, and people have captured ghosts walking on the street. But this one place actually has a piece of the basement from the prison in it. And it's a pretty interesting place. So if your group is ever looking for something different and new and wanting to come to Alton, you let me know.
Sounds good. Actually, they did talk about that. I've been going, you know, one of those of like, could we go a little closer to home, you know, kind of a thing. Let's look at that first, you know, and then we'll start branching out. We do have, you know, covers, of course, a couple of places. Because I have to tell you, a lot of your public places, I have not been. When I started out, I immediately started out, I mean, other than when you're doing things on your own or with friends, when you're first just kind of, you know, dabbling in it. But once I really started doing it, I was with a group, I went right in and we were doing like homes, businesses. And that's pretty much where I stayed. In
yeah.
doing that sort of thing, other than that was like keeping you busy enough. And so now I'm actually at a point where I'm more excited about getting to some of the public places
yeah.
for investigating because
yeah,
you don't
do that.
Have that
I
pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to get.
You know, have a date. I have to get this done. We have to hurry up. We have to get this done. We have to get this back to the people. You know what? If I listen to the audio, great. If I don't, it's more, it's for me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I do a lot of this for me, you know, and I just ignore what people say about me. And because I know I'm wild
yeah.
and crazy. I mean, I really am. If you went and looked at my stuff, you'd be like, holy shit, she wasn't lying. Okay, you know, here's the thing. Like, have you ever heard of Farrar School in
yeah.
Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, the claims are that the janitor was, like, raping children and stuff. Okay? And, you know, in talking to the girl that kind of, like, you know, has been there more than anybody, I contacted her and said, all right, tell me what goes on. And she said, the ghost box is nuts there, Jody. I'm constantly being called a whore, talking sexual to me. It's off the chart. So I go in there sometimes, and I'm like, hey, motherfucker, you want a blowjob? And I was like, what? And she was like, uh-huh. And so, you know, I kind of took her lead, and I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to wear a schoolgirl outfit for this one, right? So I went in there and I was like, you want a blowjob? Literally, my ghost box said, the sports, the blowjob. So I got that to come out of my ghost box. And then it kept talking about eating me. So it was egging me on and calling me a whore. And, you know, then I said, well,
wow.
What did I say? It said, eat again. So I said, you want to eat me? Throw me on the table and eat me. And it said, it would be beyond anything I could imagine. I was like, what?
Wow.
So it's like, you know, it's okay for Zach Bagans to take his shirt off where, you know, in his episodes and go walking around like that. But, like, literally, if I did that, or if any woman did that, we would be looked down on, frowned upon. But he can do it, you know. So the
yeah.
whole, you know, there's this whole double standard shit with men and women, period in life, I think. But so I kind of go, well, I guess I'll be like the Howard Stern and say, fuck it. You know what I mean? Do you know Scott Grimwald?
I don't know him, but I am aware of him, meaning just it's really,
you know, he's kind of like that too, where he'll step out of the box, you know, like he did an episode for Paranormal Paparazzi, and he went naked. He investigated naked and was collecting evidence, and, you know, it's like, you know, it's cool that he'll do that, but, you know, it just goes to show you still get a response, you know what I mean? And
well, you'll
you know,
definitely
like,
get a response if you're running yeah. around like naked.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of this, of course, what do I, the second thought I have is, you know, that just doesn't seem safe, but yeah, just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, he tripped. Whoops.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of this, you know, with the shows and the, like you said, double standards on it in life. I mean, it happens, I guess, fortunately, it has not really been too much the case for me. Of course, though, the difference, too, being, you know, just in talking with you now is that you are edgy. You are edgier. You do put yourself out there and you in a different way. So you probably are causing more ripples. And
oh,
that's
I am.
Back.
Huge,
where, like
huge
you said, you took the attitude of like, well, if I'm just going to have this, I might as well, and you just, you know, screw it.
You gotta own it. I've done some crazy shit and just don't fuck with them back. Trust me. Because it's just like, you know what? Like, leave me alone. Let me do my thing. And, you know, just like I leave you alone and you need to do your thing. You know, I'm not here to judge you. You know?
Yeah. And I don't think that, for me, I don't think that I'm controversial in any sense of the word.
Yeah.
The only thing that may get is that I, being a founder and really still directing over as far as with the team now, and taking that when I go into other places, a lot of times that still happens all the time in any field is, you know, a man is a go-getter, you know, and he's just, you know, being authoritative. A woman does the same thing and she's a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
That still happens all the time. So probably more than anything that maybe that might be, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever said anything back, but, you know, come be out there more because they're not used to women in these circumstances being in charge. You know, or leading is a better way maybe to put that. But, you know, it is what it is. And we just keep working as women going forward in this field.
Yeah.
Trying to balance it all.
So I found this hospital about 3.5 hours away from me, and I'm going to check it out next week. But it's been sitting for a couple of years, and the owner's, like, making no money on it. And a team has been in there a couple of years ago, and they collected some evidence, but the building's just sitting. So anyways, I called up the owner and just said, hey, what are you doing with it? And he's like, nothing. And so he might actually let me open up a business there for
that
opening
would be
it
nice.
Up. I know. I have been searching for a place that I can express myself because people see one side of me, you know, and they don't really know completely what's in my brain, you know, and how much research
right.
I have done and how many ideas I do have. And it's like I want to, you know, I think about it sometimes, like, and I'm sure you do too, and that's why you do what you do. You do want to make a difference. Even though I am controversial, I do want to make a difference. And I want to be able to walk out of this field going, okay, I did that, and that's what I brought to the table, and I will be remembered for that, you know. And I want it to be something
yeah.
that she may have been wild and crazy, and she did all that crazy stuff, but she did do this. And,
right.
You know, I get pleasure out of helping these locations because I know that they struggle. So if I can, like, do an event there and help bring awareness to them and put out videos for them afterwards of, you know, real evidence, that gives me satisfaction as a person, like
yeah.
you do when you help a family. You know, you get,
right.
there's different levels of, I guess, satisfaction. And, but I think there's a lot of things that could be done with a facility like that. Like, you know, ideas of, you know, teaching classes and doing kind of what you're doing where people can come in and, you know, maybe it's different. Maybe it's not paranormal. It's something else, you know, but it has something to do with.
And you can develop an entire program. I mean, it's been,
yeah.
you know, from my perspective over here at the college, a lot of it, I mean, it's not like I have free will here to do what is a, it's somebody, it's their college, you know. I'm not the manager of over there. I just, you know, I just am working with them. And you can only express and try to develop things. But if you're bringing in, you know, we've probably got, I would say probably about 10 different types of classes right now. And you can just go from everywhere. Like if you had a place like that, you could do get a parapsychologist in. You could get somebody who is approaching. And one of the classes I actually co-teach with a cultural anthropologist. And so his perspective is coming from that of a, you know, dealing with the society, social anthropology. And a global perspective, I bring it more, you know, closer to home and how it relates to what we're doing. But, I mean, you can, there's so many different ways you could get people in, and they don't have to be investigators, you know, just people who are interested in it.
Yeah. Well, maybe if I do get this hospital, like, I'll find out next week. I'm going to go down there, and first I'm, you know, going to try and collect my own evidence. And, but, you know, he said he is up for anything that I want to do, and it doesn't matter how crazy I get. And so one thing that him and I discussed is about, like, starting off with putting some cameras in and getting a website where people can donate money to help raise money for the hospital and, you know, pay for, you know, what I'm about to do. And then, you know, if it does well, then, you know, and I have people like George Norrie who will put me on Coast to Coast and help me put the name out there because I told him what I want to do in this hospital, and he's like, I will support this 100%. But, you know, I want to do it the right way. I want to pull in professionals that are not paranormal investigators, but actual, you know, professors that, you know, we're getting their side too. And we're learning that because more people do need to learn that. So maybe that's something that you would, you know, if I get the building and I do move forward with something, maybe you could, you know, give over something to me that I could teach there to people.
Yeah.
And you would, you know, get credit for it. And I'm sure, like, you know,
get a percentage of it or something. Yeah, you know what, just whatever, if it comes up and stuff like that, just give me a call and, you know, whatever I can do. Because, you know, one that you've mentioned, like with places like this, there's so many places. That is the one really good thing that has come out of this in a different way, is that so many of these places that would have been demolished or have, you know, been totally stripped and turned in down and turned into something, you know, horrific, they're able to survive due to this investigation, you know, people coming through and putting that out there. And a lot of times people will be like, oh, again, you know, well, they just want it for that. It's a way, what else are you going to do? Especially if you've got a building, sometimes some of these buildings are half falling down, so to say.
Yeah.
And they need so much in repairs, it's a way to make money.
I know, it's so sad. It breaks my heart, you know, because you don't want to see that piece of history ripped down. And you know that if somebody just went in and just gave it some love and some money, it could be brought back to what it once was. But, you know, it's just too easy to just rip it down and build something new. And, you know, that is a huge problem in our country. Like, we do not take care of,
we don't
know,
recycle
historical properties. Huh?
I said, we don't recycle, you know, in a way. And like, okay, it's old, it's done, it's, and you put up
a... When you go to other countries and it's like, holy shit, this is old. You know what I mean? And it's like, you look at our country and you're like, yep, no. Like, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's we're a young place, you know, and we're just getting started. I think, let me ask you this. Do you think that activity has increased, or is it just that people are talking about it more, or it's being discovered more, or any of those?
Yeah, I think that, like, I'm 42, so when I was a kid, it just really wasn't talked about, you know? And I noticed that for me personally, until I started having problems with my son, is when my whole family started telling me stuff I never heard of before. And I'm like hearing that, well, you know, your uncle, he was like psychic and also saw ghosts his whole life. And then, you know, your mom and your aunt would always see black eye or red eyes in their closet. And, you know, my grandmother's house had ghosts. And when she sold it, like the people who bought it, like immediately moved out and said, screw this, you know, and went back to him and said, thanks for selling us that haunted house, you know. And then, you know, finding out my grandmother was a psychic and, you know, and it's like now then it started explaining things that I experienced as a child. Like I had my own experiences and I just didn't tell my family about it because it just wasn't something that was discussed. So, yeah, I think it's something that, you know, has always been around. But I think that paranormal just kind of dropped off in history at some point. And then with all these TV shows, you know, Ghost Hunters and Ghost Adventures, they just really brought it back. And, you know, good for them. Because some point somebody will find out something, you know?
Yeah. I think it's a combination. I think one, it's that people are openly talking about it now. I do question. I mean, I don't know this. I haven't, you know, done anything to you know, test this out. But I think that all the people going around and going through the places, different places now, it may be, in a sense, stirring it up or even creating it, going back to, like, you know, the Philip experiment type of thing where you start more and more energy, more things.
I went into for our school and, like, I kind of blew that shit up. I'm not going to lie. Like, they were like, Jody, and I'm like, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Like, they all knew what I was doing when I went in. And but they said, like, they were getting a lot, like, devil and evil coming through on their ghost box after I left. And they weren't getting that before. So, you know, it's like something, a piece of my equipment could have brought that in. You know what I mean? That I picked up at another location, you know, because when I'm coming in, I'm bringing the same stuff to every location I go, and I've been to a lot of places. I mean, I've been doing this like 6 years strong, and I don't do residential. I travel around because that's what I want to do. You know, I want to see these places. I want to experience it myself, and it's more for me. But so that has happened to me after I went to the location. So, yeah, I think you're on something, absolutely. Some people go in, and there was a location that I went to last November, and it had just been bought and being used as a place to go ghost hunting. And one of my team members just went back 2 weeks ago, and she called me up, and she goes, Jody, they have, on the outside of the building, no Ouija boards allowed in this building anymore, and you're entering at your own risk. She goes, you know, that wasn't here when we came. And it's like, nope, that wasn't. And we didn't take a Ouija board in, but, you know, clearly somebody's been in there pushing it a little too hard, and maybe the activity has gotten worse there. So, yeah, it's, you know. I think definitely people go in, you know, these commercialized places, and they're opening more, definitely.
Yeah, and sometimes you just, that goes into some of the provoking, going back to, like, you know, which they have toned it down, or, by the Ghost Adventures, they were huge on, you know, as far as, you know, badly provoking. And I love, though, when once in a while something will come out where they'll be like, they'll start talking really aggressively and mean, you know, trying to provoke the this isn't for anybody else here, nice. You know, this is for the bad people.
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, it's I'm not one for provoking. Now, that doesn't what I always this is my one of my key phrases that I use often is, you know, engage, don't enrage. You especially if it's in somebody's home.
Oh, God.
What are you thinking to do that?
Yeah,
I was on an.
He gets
you know,
so mad about that. He's heard of other teens going in and doing that and then, like, leaving the family, like, in tragedy.
Yeah.
That's unacceptable. You know what I mean?
No.
If you're going
into a location,
to rent it out, and you're like, okay, I'm going to come in, I'm going to do this, I'm going to provoke, I'm going to do that, and they go, okay, and you're like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? You have a mutual understanding.
Right.
When you are working with a family with children, like, there should be never any of that. You know, you're going
and
in trying
that
to
matter,
find out what's
business,
going on.
Yeah. And in a working business, to me, it's the same thing. If you're going to, you know, a prison somewhere, you know, abandoned to prison, all right, you know, that's their thing. But now I've been abandoned institutions for either usually mentally or but disabled, but also physically. And had watched this man that was kind of came in and from a different group, and this was years ago, and we were in what would have been the woman's ward, the woman's section. Now, we all know, if people don't know, they should by now, of how abused these people were. First of all, like, they didn't suffer enough from the things that were going on in their own heads often. Then they often suffered at the hands of orderlies and nurses and so on and so forth. Now you're going in there and you have this guy was a big, you know, burly man sitting there just yelling and, you know, just not really nice things. Abusive.
Yeah.
Trying to provoke because he, well, quite frankly, as he would say, he was just bored and he wanted something to happen. What are you thinking? You are this big guy, and if they're really here, if there are ex-female patients in this room, do you really think that's going to make them respond to you? One. But two, you need to keep in mind the humanity behind that. They were human beings and people.
Mm-hmm.
And you are just being abusive. Whether it be on this side or the others, you know, whatever side they're on, would he do that same thing if there were living people there? No.
Yeah.
But if there are souls that are somehow earthbound that were in that situation, they're broken in people. That's probably why they're still there. And to do that, so it's like certain amount as far as provoking, I'm not real big at. Now, if you're going into some place, like I said, and it's a prison and or where it's just, you know that there's nothing there but bad things going on, that's, you know, somebody else's, if they want to, you know, do that, that's their business, but I do have a little bit of a moral thing on that. It took me a long time to even want to go into any of these places that were now institutions. Now, not so much if it was like a TV sanatorium or something like that. Now, yes, the people were ill and they suffered, but they had their faculties about them. And again, you're not going in and I'm not talking about provoking, just going in and seeing what's there. But I often thought, is it almost like exploiting the weak? And so it was kind of my thing on it. But
yeah.
So it a lot
well,
of this.
Well, you can still start doing a little bit more because you know you get you just get so much from going to some of these places and just seeing it firsthand. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I would make a little list for yourself of the places like that you would love to go to at some point, and just like find a way to do it for you. Because
yeah.
being able to do that, and I don't know, I get a lot of joy from seeing a fresh new building and the potential and, you know, just learning about the place, hearing the stories from the people who have, you know, hunted it the most. Like, I always do that. When I'm going to a location, I look up a group in the area, and I contact them, and, you know, I learn everything about the building through them before I ever walk through it. And it helps me in my investigating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and I love that challenge, too, of figuring out sometimes, depending on the size of the place or what it is, who's there.
Yeah.
You know, not just...
Have you ever heard of Linda Vista in California?
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Okay, I went there, and the first time I ever got an EVP to a response of, what is your name? And I got Michael. And so, I put that out there, and people know that I got that EVP because it was a really great EVP. It was really clear. And I have had so many people contact me in the last couple of years and say, oh, my God, Jody, I was at Linda Vista, and I got Michael. And it is so cool to know that, like, other people are picking him up.
Right.
I
get asked that a lot about, and even in class, and it's like, I wish I had an answer for you why we don't get names all the time. Sometimes you do, but, you know, why? It's sort of like, all right, if you can move this object across the table, or you can sit there and tell me an entire, you know, sentence where half of it is, you know, Class A and maybe the rest is trails off, can you not just tell me, yes, my name is Mary Marshall? Just please, you know. And people will say, why does that happen? I'm like, I don't know. I wish I had that answer. So I start, you know what I do is I now, one of my standard questions is asking a few questions, I shouldn't say question, because it's a few questions on the line of, are there rules in your dimension where you're at? Is there, you know, maybe there is something going on that we are, maybe it would be chaos. I don't know, but I'm trying to know, why do we not get, you know, this is where I lived at, you know, 222, you know, wherever the heck it is. There's got to be a reason. I mean, there has to be a reason. It's not, you know, they can say things. And you're getting a lot of things being said, why not more often, you know, is it just not somebody saying, I'm Bill Jones?
Yeah.
Oh, where did you die? You know, Alton.
You know? Yeah.
It's interesting to me, and I question, why does that not happen more often?
Have you ever had, like, an out-of-body experience or anything like that?
No, I have not.
Okay,
go ahead.
I have, and I can tell you that, like, for me personally, my body was, like, bodiless, but it was, like, floating out of my body, and there was a half circle around me of people and then a woman in the center of it. And it was not my time. But it was like all like kind of gray and white and like you were in body form, but you just didn't have a body. But they were like people. You know, they had legs and arms and face and hair but they were like just floating. You know, just like free floating. So it's like their energy, but they were still there.
Right.
And that was what that was like for me. So I know for a fact that there is something else, you know. There is, we do go without body. But we're still in body form. But we're just floating at that point.
You know, a lot of times people,
I'm glad I went up instead of down. If I came back and I was like, yeah, my body was floating down and like flames coming up and the cores.
You know, it's a lot of with the, what's going on? Wait, this isn't right.
You know what? Talking about that, I don't think there's ever been a reported case of a near-death experience that said I was floating down, you know? And, you know, if you think about it, I'm sure some people, like, you deserve to go to hell, and that's where they would go, so why wouldn't it be like that coming back is the description.
You know
what?
Where
is my hell?
I think that some of that has to do with culture while we're alive. And what I mean by that is culture is defined by a group of people, their thoughts, their ideas, and, it, you know, what that in the formation of that and belonging. So if you have, in Vietnam, they think all ghosts, they believe in ghosts, but they think that all ghosts are angry. And they're angry for, you know, they have their specific reasons why that they're angry. Well, you can be darn sure that when, if somebody is believing that and that they go pass on and they come back as a ghost, they're going to relate that way. Because, again, it's that, like you said, that energy of who they are maintains and carries over. So I think that if you have people who think out of body experiences, I'm going to go into the light, if they have a belief in a higher power, they're probably going to rise to that occasion. If they probably think, if they're, and I don't know this for a fact, but if they're atheists, they're probably lights out. That's it. Because they don't have any other expectations than that for their energy, or wouldn't know what to do with it, if that makes sense. So when you're saying about anybody saying having, you know, life after death and almost, you know, going the other direction, you know, sometimes you hear about the tunnel, you know, maybe they were headed there and,
yeah,
you know, it was dark. It was,
yeah,
they did sometimes
some,
hear about the darkness.
Repercussions first. You're going to jail.
Well, we're down to the last 2 minutes of the show. So, Mary, if you got any websites or places that you're going to be speaking at, you can go ahead and promote.
The easiest way to find anything else out is to go to theparanormalmdradio.com. Or you can, there's the other one, which is the Paranormal MD. But even if you go to the paranormalmdradio.com, that can link you to which was the original more team site type thing. But on there will be, you know, what I'm doing or and where I'm doing it. So, yeah. Yeah, that is available at all1broadcast.com. It's all in the number one. Broadcast.com, and it airs on Mondays at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And yeah, it's live every Monday. So when you're not listening to Terror FI, then come and listen to me on Mondays.
Well, thank you. I had so much fun talking to you.
It was a pleasure
to meet you.
And
if you ever want to go to Alton, and like I'll keep in contact with you and let you know what's going on with this hospital, because, you know, I have actually spoken to other people that I know do courses, and you know, I figure I could offer a couple people, different people's courses, you know,
right?
And you know, make sure that they get compensated as well for offering those courses, you know. But there's, you know, you're on a great path, and I respect what you're doing, so keep doing it, and we'll stay in contact.
Yeah, stay in contact, and we'll talk again.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys
have a good night. Good night.
All right. You too.
All right.
Well, you, Kevin, always seem to bring me, like, the best lady guests, I swear to God. You know? You do.
Yeah.
You introduced me to so many wonderful people over the last year that I otherwise would have never made contact with. So thanks for bringing her. She was a good one. I liked her.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, that's part of it. I want you to be able to meet a lot of different women. We don't just necessarily have women, but I try to hear
a lot
of it.
I'm all for women in this field and empowering them and seeing them rise above. So, you know, to speak to a intelligent woman that has her shit together, I like it. I'm not going to complain about that, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Next week, which these guys are really cool, we're going to be talking to members of Paravisions Paranormal out of Ohio. That will be our guest next week. And these guys are really cool. They really know their stuff, and real funny too, laid back. So we should have a great show.
Nice.
So,
well,
and
wonderful.
That brings another thing that we can start bringing onto the show, Jody, is why don't we start bringing some of these especially people that you know that own buildings, locations, and get them on the show, and we'll talk about their locations. You could even bring your mentor from Mineral Well. Is it Mineral Springs? Mineral Springs.
Mineral Springs, yeah.
You know, we can have some people that have locations and talk about them. So.
You know what?
Yeah.
Janet would be, oh, my God, Janet would be a great one to have on, Kevin, because she knows me from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she has stories that she can tell you about me that I was oblivious to this paranormal field, like, forever.
Yeah.
Up until Paranormal Challenge, like, I would hang out with Janet. Like, she was my chick, you know what I mean? And, I went to Janet about everything, and I have done so many places. Like, I would get a location, and I call up Janet. You know, I'm hanging out with a 72-year-old, you know. And so she would tell me stories about, you know, owning, you know, a place and having other people trying to compete with her and destroy her business and do all this stuff. And I'd be like, no way. These people aren't like that, Janet. You know, I never have any problem. You know, because nobody knew who I was. But, yeah, that kind of changed. And then shit hit the fan, and I would go back and be like, holy shit, Janet, you're not going to believe this story. And she'd be like, what? You know? So she would actually be a really good person to have on the show. So I will reach out and I'll ask her. That's a good idea. You know, we hadn't thought about that. But that would be something.
Well, you know, you were talking, you just kind of spurred an idea. You know, you're all about helping locations and bringing awareness to the location. So why not have some of these people on and talk about what's been going on in their buildings and, you know, that kind of thing.
I think that's a great idea. I would love to do some of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've still got to do a roast on Scott Grimwald. I mean, I talked to him. He said he's down. So
yeah.
I guess I would have to figure people who would call in And, like, they would have to write up something pretty harsh.
Yeah.
Shit, I'll write something up. I'll call his wife up and be like, all right, give me the freaking goods, mama. And I'll put my stink on that shit.
Yeah.
I'll come out like, group doggy dog. You know?
All right, well.
Wrap it.
We're gonna shut it down for tonight.
Did I get to pick a song?
If you want to, I was just gonna wrap up and Full Spectrum Radio tomorrow with Matt and Dennis. They're gonna have one of the managers of Pennhurst on the show tomorrow. They're really excited about being able to talk to the management that owns Pennhurst, which is a very haunted location. It's been on TV numerous times. And so they're going to have that tomorrow. We no longer have a Thursday night show, Ghost Hunting Texas Style. They stopped doing the radio. Kevin Bryan, I want to wish you happiness in what you're doing. He's taking a step out of the paranormal for a while, taking a little break. And so wish him all the best and Justin all the best.
Absolutely.
We'll work on getting somebody else into that Thursday slot. But for now, no show on Thursdays. And then Friday is Paranormal Access Radio with Chris Taylor and Amy Dawson at 9 p.m. Central Time. So that's the plugs for the week. And everybody have a good night, and Jody's going to play us out of here.
Good night, all.
Now I will tell you what I've done for you. 50,000 tears I've cried.